Where would you rank the made-for-TV Ewok movies? We answer this burning question and many other Star Wars-related questions. Oh yeah, we talk about Rogue One as well. We are the Cinema Guys. Welcome to the show. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I am your father, Michael.
Just play, it's me, Justin.
Aww.
Oh, thought I was Darth Vader for a second.
I don't have a dad.
Oh.
And I got really excited there for a second.
Oh, you don't have one at all?
No.
Were you a virgin?
I was born out of midichlorians.
Nice.
There's things that will not be talked.
Chlorine.
No meta. Just chlorine.
Just chlorine.
Are they going to continue the medical? That's gospel now, right? Metachlorians.
It's part of canon, but they don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's not mentioned anymore. Like, it was mentioned in the prequels.
A metachlorian story where you see the microscopic world, and they're just, you know, there's adventure there too.
Maybe, maybe they have their own Luke Skywalker.
That's after Episode 9.
The prequels.
Metachlorian wars.
Metachlorian wars.
Yes.
So what are we talking about today, Brad?
Talking about Star Wars. So let's kick it off with a segment we call Flick Picks.
Flick Picks!
This is where we give you a list of movies in a category we choose.
What category?
This one we're going to rank Star Wars movies.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think we should rank our personal favorites. You know, there's now 8 movies out there.
I'd like to start with Wrath of Khan.
Oh, yes. Very good. I
Star Wars.
Star Trek. Oh, come on, man. Seriously, dude. It's blasphemy.
Sorry.
So mine changed recently just because I just now recently watched all 7 or all 8, I guess, over the Christmas holiday. And I fell in love with some that I didn't used to love as much and hate some that I liked more.
If you say Phantom Menace, this is over.
Not my favorite. My favorite will never change. My favorite is always, always has been, always will be, The Empire Strikes Back. That's my number one.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Episode 5 on your lists?
It was 2nd on my list.
What's your first?
New Hope. The original Star Wars has always been my favorite.
I'm going to put in number one as well.
When you were little, did you put them all together? Did you think of them as episodes when you were little?
No, not at all. There was
Star Wars.
It was
Star Wars.
Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. But it wasn't, you know, episode 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, right. It was just I want to watch one of them.
Yeah.
Usually when I was younger, it would be Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, that was always the cool one. So my list is 5.
Okay.
And then I liked The Force Awakens, but then I never made a list. But I really liked it when I just watched it again. And I think that would be my 2nd one. 5, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Where would you put Rogue One, a.k.a. what, 3.5?
5, 7, 6, 4, Rogue One, 3, 2, 1.
And then the Ewok Adventures movies.
Oh, if we can put the Cameron of Courage and Battle for Endor, it goes, ready? 5, 7, 6, 4, Rogue One, Caravan of Courage, Battle for Endor, 3, 2, 1.
And then the holiday special.
At the end.
Well, Michael, what about you? We know you have Empire up top.
And you have to do the Ewok Adventures and the Star Wars.
It's been so long since I've seen the Ewok
Adventures. Battle for Endor is the one with the Quaker Oatmeal guy, the little thing that ran around fast. And the Caravan of Courage was the first one where they had the giant Sindel, the girl.
Okay.
Starship, crew Star Cruiser crash. Star Cruiser crash.
Wow.
Dude, I loved this.
I haven't watched those in many years.
I haven't either, but I watched it so much. I actually always think about him getting the rock and throwing it because all I get is a stupid rock. But the little Ewok picked up the rock, and right when they needed it,
it was there.
I was like, dang it. I still think about that scene. Like, I keep the things that you want to throw away.
Yeah. Don't give away the rock. The rock is always important.
All right. What's your list?
So I am going to be uber pretentious, and I'm going to go with 5, 4.6, but I'm going to use the demastered editions or despecialized editions.
Of course.
Because I don't believe in any of that specialized stuff.
I don't believe doors should go fast and there should be fire in space.
No, I really don't care about that. But I'll go 5, 4, 6, 7, Rogue One, 3, the Ewok movies. And then, oh God, that's just like picking trash. 2-1, I guess.
Oh, come on. I have a little love for the prequels.
I don't hate them. But if I'm putting them against the other ones, they are last, well, but yeah, I don't hate them.
I mean,
I don't have the hate that many people have. I get it. I totally get it. I see, like, man, it's...
I don't hate them. Like, there's not, like, a visceral hatred I have for them. They're just really bad
because
movies.
I'll go to the first time... episode one will always have a particular place because, A, of the excitement I felt going to it.
Mm-hmm.
B, the lightsaber scenes you'd never seen before. I'd never seen this before. And Darth Maul was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then Qui-Gon Jinn is my all-time favorite Jedi. I will never have a Jedi that I like more than Qui-Gon Jinn. I think he was the best, and I also think he would have joined the Separatist movement. I think Count Dooku was right.
All right. Well, my numbers jump around a little more than yours, because I have 4, 5, Rogue One.
You then, really liked it.
Oh, I loved it. And then 7, 3, 6, 1, 2. And then the Ewok movies.
Yeah, my 1 and 2 could be switched back and forth, too.
That 1 yeah. and 2 can kind of go back and forth. It depends on how much I'm really into the pod race and the...
Yeah. 2 had brilliant scenes, though. Like, I thought the scene where Palpatine was captured and he made Dooku and Anakin fight just like he does with Vader and Luke in Return of the Jedi, I thought paralleling those scenes is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there's moments where I'm like, oh, you did a good job here. Paralleling those scenes.
What I'll say is, you know, the prequels, they're not horrible. They have good elements. There's good set pieces. It's just it suffers from bad delivery of dialogue. Right. And
there is some bad dialogue.
And just overall poor acting overall. I mean, there's still some very good visual stuff in that, but just the delivery takes you out of it so much.
The scene where they're all the Jedi show up to save them all from and when they Yoda lands on Geonosis.
Okay.
Awesome. Like I remember I love that scene even when I was watching like boys, this is one of my favorite scenes in all the movies cuz Mace Windu shows up, fights Jango Fett and you suddenly see all the lightsabers in the whole crowd and you're like, "Yes, this is amazing."
It's everything we wanted to see for the longest time.
But then you
time.
Get things like Anakin, it's about democracy. Like when Obi-Wan yells democracy, I'm like, that's what we're yelling, democracy?
Yeah, it just has – it went away from the simplicity of the original films.
Right.
Focused too much on Lucas's personal politics and then just lost some of the charm of the originals. You know, it just didn't flow as right.
I think what he did with these, unlike the originals, he had other people directing and writing, unlike – the prequels, he was like, it's me.
Yeah, they had no filter. You know, it's just like giving a child free reign to do whatever they want. No one was there to really stop and say, hey, Georgia, maybe we need to tighten up the script a little bit, or hey, maybe we need to do this a little bit differently.
I know they did for Attack of the Clones, and some of the dialogue, you know, was a little tighter than The Phantom Menace, but some of the delivery.
The two things I wish they did better is I wish they made me – now, Clone Wars did this, not in the movie, the TV show. But I wish they made me in the movies believe that Anakin really would go from normal to I'm slaughtering children. Because I was like – now, in the Clone Wars, you see – as you watch it, you're like, oh, I see the distrust in the council. I see
– oh, yeah.
I see why he would make these choices. I think Ahsoka Tano should have died, and that would have been like part one of him just starting to hate the world. Because I wanted, you know, you need to see him get devastated enough to where he's going to slaughter children. I don't believe in the movies that character arc has taken him to where he's slaughtering children.
Yeah, there's not much of a downfall, really.
I mean, and I don't believe for a second that he loves Padme in that movie. These movies, why wouldn't he love Ahsoka Tano? She's like the chick that's with him all the time.
Well, by the time the you know episode 3 comes along, Ahsoka's gone.
Right, but even during the Clone Wars, when he spends some time with Padme, but you're like, you got nothing with her. You have a lot with this other chick.
Yeah, I mean, the relationship there is very childish. I mean, it starts off with him being a child in love with this older woman, and it just doesn't really make sense.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the downfalls of starting off with him as a child and introducing that relationship at that point in time is it just never really feels like it works.
Right.
Like, if they had introduced them as meeting in the second one when they're both kind of adults, you buy that a little bit more. Because why wouldn't she be interested in Obi-Wan?
Right.
You know, clearly, he's the older person. I mean, outside of the fact that, you know, they're Jedis and they shouldn't have relationships, that seems to be the more logical choice.
Do you think that Obi-Wan was sort of in love with Padme?
That's a recent theory I heard as well. Like, a way they could have made the prequels a much better, because then...
Yeah, it's always been kind of a rumor theory.
See, I didn't know that.
It's been out there.
I literally got it from watching them. Because the first thing I thought of was the age difference in episode one. But then I'm like, well, young Obi-Wan and Padme are probably about the same age. He's probably in, you know, the other compartment of the Millennium Falcon, like trying to hook up with Padme. Like, hey, you know, I saw you in there talking to the kid. No, silly kids, right? You want to play some chess or something? Drink some blue milk? And then Anakin certainly has these... overreactionary fears about it. Maybe there was something going on. And Obi-Wan's cool, man. I mean, we know that he's in love with that other chick from the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Mandalorian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But.
Yeah, that's a theory I heard recently that was, or a way that they could have made the prequels a lot better was adding that subtext. Because then, like, you get, like, you know, when Anakin shows off on Mustafar, and Obi-Wan comes out first, or after Padme, it's kind of like, oh, you're there with him again.
Oh, yeah, you're with him.
Mm.
There's this whole, like, triangle thing, and that's why he gets even angrier when Obi-Wan walks out.
Yeah, because there's no logical reason for him to get mad to see his, you know, friend and master come out there.
Right.
So
before we go into our thoughts on Rogue One, first, I cannot tell you so I work at a coffee shop where people come in all the time, and so I talk about things like, oh, Star Wars. I am so frustrated with the general population, I've had to explain it, I mean, countless times to family or non-family or to people in the coffee shop. They're like, where does this fall in line with the whole thing? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not that hard. 1, 2, 3, Rogue One, 4, 5, 6, yeah. 7. It's not that hard. Like, people are like so confused. Hey, is it another prequel? I'm like, I don't understand. It's not that hard of a concept.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, it's
especially people, because it leads right into
Star
Wars. Is that us coloring more because we're familiar with the extended universe than this idea of having separate stories, not necessarily about the Skywalker family and, you know, understand there's a bigger world out there?
Yeah. I think people still just get confused about, which one's first?
Yeah.
Like, I feel 4, 5, 6 and then 1, 2, 3, I think confuse the general public. To where they're still confused now. So when you throw another one in there, they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, they're just
Some people, I think, this episode 8, no, that's next year.
Yeah.
Now, my brother-in-law, who has not seen any of the Star Wars outside of Force Awakens, that's the only one he had seen, and does not care for Star Wars, loved Rogue One.
Which I could see. I mean, if you just took the name Star Wars off of it, I mean, it would be a good standalone action sci-fi type movie.
Right.
I mean, it just helps it has all this other stuff in it.
Go high on the action, but definitely sci-fi.
You don't think that had a lot of action in it?
I thought there was a moderate.
There was more wars in Rogue One than any other Star Wars.
I wouldn't say it was very actiony.
I guess I could segue into recently we went to see the 8th movie within the Star Wars universe, and the first that isn't directly one of the episodes or saga movies, as they're called. Rogue One, a Star Wars story. But before we get into our thoughts, we ask listeners to call in and tell us what they thought of the movie. Let's have a listen.
The first thought was the fact that I loved the grittiness. I loved the true aspect of how evil the Empire is.
I feel like they could have done a better job at developing Jyn, but I feel like there's only so much you can do bringing in a new character like that. But overall, I really liked it.
Good film, you know. Good film. I liked it.
Rogue One was astonishingly beautiful.
I really enjoyed it. I thought The original characters, the special guests, the Easter eggs merged well with the new characters. It was kind of seamless. Obviously, the wrap-up at the end, probably the best wrap-up and tangle of loose ends in the history of motion cinema.
Sounds like people are really enjoying it. We have one more call from our good friend Will over at Go Rent Skip.
Hey, cinema guys, this is Will. I was just calling to let you know I just saw Rogue One, and it was awesome. You guys have a great show, and it is just, I just enjoy loving it, and you guys need to let people know how awesome Rogue One is.
Thanks, Will. You can check out their show over at GoRentSkip.org. Now, let's find out what everyone thinks of Rogue One.
That was pretty good.
And before we really start, we're going to let you know that this is not going to be spoiler-free. And if you haven't...
It's spoiler full. Yeah, it's going to be spoiled.
And if you haven't seen the movie...
Already been done spoiled.
You haven't seen the movie and don't want to know anything, I would come back after seeing the movie. Just so you know, you've been warned.
Warned.
I don't think anyone did not like it.
I don't know how many loves I can put in front. I've seen it three times now.
I've seen it three times.
And,
well,
I've seen it once.
I saw it 2.5 times. I fell asleep through most of one of them.
And every time I've seen it, like, it hasn't lost the enjoyment for me at all. I think I've fallen in love with it even more every viewing.
So what did you love about it so much? Let's hear.
What I loved that it wasn't... It was very, as I would put, very similar, but different. Like, it had that Star Wars feel, but it was a much different movie. It was darker, grittier. You know, it was a straight up war movie. Like, people died.
And a lot of people died.
A lot of people died.
Everyone died.
Everyone dies.
And even the scene at the beginning on the outpost when we first meet, Captain Cassian Andor.
Oh,
that like the dark, getting his
where he murders someone.
Yes, exactly.
When he
straight up kills a man.
This is where I was like, whoa. Oh, the rebellion's terrorists. I get it.
They actually are terrorists.
We are terrorists. Yeah. We like the terrorists.
And from there forward, I was like, this is going to be a different kind of Star Wars movie.
I loved the Easter eggs. Like, I loved how many cool things there are. The one thing I've read recently that I really loved was the list that Rey's reading when she's looking for the name of the, you know, the file.
Yeah.
You know, she starts listing all these other things that are
Jen.
Like...
You mean Jen?
Oh, sorry. Jen. Yes. Jen, Rey, you know, they're all the same. No, the list that she's reading... actually, I kept calling her Star Wars Juno because she reminded me of Star Wars Juno. If Juno was in Star Wars and not pregnant, it would be... her. But yeah, like the list, like the black saber is in there, mm-hmm. the Mandalorian lightsaber, all these other like mass weapons that Palpatine had are sort of in there, which is kind of cool, which does lead me to believe, because everyone's big thing with episode 7 was that how in the world did the Starkiller base even exist, that he was building these things for a really, really long time.
Yeah. I mean, definitely he had some foresight. To say the least.
Well, we first see the plans for the Death Star in episode 2, which was, 30 years before this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
that 8-bit graphic never changed. And apparently it's really hard to upload the 8-bit graphic.
It's a lot of memory.
It is.
I was like, you could probably just draw that in the sand and like show them a picture.
Not where that vent shaft
there
is.
There was a tube and then a circle thingy.
And going into Rogue One, there is a lead-in book called Catalyst.
Right.
That takes place before it. And it is about Galen Erso and... the building of the Death Star, and they have secretly been doing it since after episode 2. So it's been going on for a long time.
It's a lot of schematics and, you know, plans for air ducts in the book.
Really need some ventilation here, guys.
Can we get a different color?
I do love the explanation, though. So that there was a secret operative who planted the Death Star dying so easily. I'm like, oh, this is good.
And that's the only reason he would work on it.
CYA so he could secretly.
Because in the book, he is very against war. Like, I would highly recommend reading Catalyst. It gives you...
Was it better than the one that came out right before episode 7? What was that called?
Aftermath.
Aftermath. That was not a great book. That was a subpar book.
This gives you a lot more background of Galen Erso, his relationship with Commander Krennic, and Krennic's basically motivation for what he's doing.
And they had those wine parties on Coruscant.
Yep. And hey. His kind of his and Tarkin's, you know, butting heads. Like it's a really good book, especially rounding out those three characters.
That was one of my favorite parts. I loved Grand Moff Tarkin.
He's only Moff Tarkin.
Oh, he's not Grand Moff, is he?
He gets that afterwards.
That's right.
When he first came on, I was like, oh, they're just going to show his back. And then he turned around. I was like, yes.
And then he had like a real part in the movie. Like, yeah. It wasn't just like.
It wasn't just 2 seconds of, hey, look, we CG'd him in. And then. Cut away. Yeah. He was part of the movie.
Do you think they add that to his IMDb credits?
I don't think they did.
They should.
Now, what do you think of the force-sensitive ninja-like character? Who I thought was one of my favorite characters in the whole movie.
Played Donnie I loved him.
Yes.
Very good. You know, it was good. I mean, it was an interesting look at the force that we hadn't seen yet, because we really haven't seen anything outside of Jedi.
Right.
You know,
do you think it was really him encountering the force, or that he was just this wasn't really
do you think he's force sensitive faithful? Or just,
I mean, obviously because he's a little more daredevil, is he right? Because he's blind.
Not all blind people have superpowers, Justin. How many times do we have to go over this?
I try to punch them all the time. They don't block it. I don't understand.
It's getting to be a problem.
I mean, he was a guard on Jedha.
Right.
For the Kyber crystals.
Did we always know that Kyber crystals power the Death Star?
No.
No, I think this is the first time it's been formally said that's what they use. I mean, we knew that they've powered lightsabers.
Yeah, I knew that.
As I said before, the book digs into that a little more, too. So I would say read it.
We get it, Brad. You read a book.
I don't read books much.
I know, and you're really excited.
I liked it.
So basically, it's Kyber and Galen and us, and they're like, what if we put a bunch of Kyber crystals together? I bet it makes a big laser beam.
All right, this is nitpicky, but did you think it was weird that I think it happened 3 times, which makes me think they were doing it to be funny. But especially in the end, where the button or whatever they needed to touch was like 70 feet out into the sky, which made no sense to me. Like, this controls this thingy, but you have to run down this platform to hit the button.
Somebody find a master switch.
Yeah, find the master switch.
Oh, wait, it's out on the platform out there.
If we know anything, the Empire has poor design.
Poor design.
They really don't check things.
Now, going back to, you said no action in this movie. It's a war movie.
I thought there were 3 action spots. The scene in the end, the end fight scene. The one scene,
like, you had the ambush on Jedha with the tank. Yes,
that was the second one. And then there was one more.
There was obviously the Battle of Scarif on the ground and the space battle.
That's the last one, right?
Yeah,
where Star Wars, the Ghost is in.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Which they have said that we will eventually see that battle from a Ghost perspective, which I am excited for.
And then there was one more where I was like, oh, okay, that was a little action-y. And other than that, I was like, yeah. I mean, not that I didn't like it.
You have the escape
care.
From the giant explosion. You have a lot more smaller,
that
like.
It wasn't very.
You have the one where they're going to get Jin's father on the rain planet. It was just raining all the time.
There was a lot of action there, though.
The X-Wing showed up and blew the place apart. There was a little bit of action.
A little bit.
I mean, it's not Tom Cruise running action.
It's not Tom Cruise. What movie is Tom Cruise running action?
Every Tom Cruise movie he's ever in, that's an action movie.
Is he running a lot?
That's all he does in movies, is run.
Go back and watch Tom Cruise action movies.
Does he always run?
I bet we can find a montage video on YouTube right now.
Did he run in Days of Thunder?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a scene in I'm pretty sure there's a scene in Days of Thunder where he's running down the street.
There's a montage on YouTube. Look it up.
I didn't know that this was the thing. Yeah. Tom Cruise running.
Tom Cruise runs.
He loves to run.
Hmm.
He's got this great.
Did he run in The Last Samurai? I'm sure he did not.
So in the next Star Wars story, they need more running. So Justin can have action.
I just didn't think it was very action packed. Like, I mean, there were definitely some action in it, but I was like, oh, this is a little more somber of a film, I thought.
Well, I'm just hoping the Han Solo Land of Power Sea movie is just like a buddy comedy film. Where they're just going.
I do. But
Rogue One is supposed to be a very somber.
Yeah,
you're supposed to believe that there is no hope.
I am not upset that there was not action. I just didn't think it was
an action-y
movie. Given all the other Star Wars, I would say this is the least action of the seven other ones.
I don't know about that.
I mean, Episode 4 really only has one action set piece in it.
But if you were in the 70s watching it, you would have thought it was all action.
Whatever, I could watch a Sam Peckinpah film and see more action.
I don't know what that means.
Watch like Bonnie and Clyde.
I thought it had a good amount of action. And it did a good job. Well, as I said to you after, it was like Magnificent Seven in space.
Yes, all these movies coming out with. Magnificent Seven in space, so the seven samurai in space. It was
the ragtag bunch of guys together.
It did a great job of introducing a ton of new characters that we never met.
And we'll never see again.
And never see again, but also really connecting with them. I mean, I would follow K2SO.
Oh, totally.
Many movies.
How many?
Alan Tudyk did a wonderful job.
How many space movies have you ever watched that you actually cared that the droid died?
Yeah, he was a badass droid.
I was like, no.
Why him?
Why?
He can survive in space.
C-3PO survived this long and that dude can't?
I know. I
mean, C-3PO can't even yield a gun.
And how many times
he could barely walk down a hallway.
And how many times did he get shot before he died?
He took a beating.
Dude, he was tough. Well, that was the other thing I was thinking is how the Star Wars universe deals with data. Because they can go to light speed. They can do all this other stuff. But they can't store data on like portable sticks like we can, because this data is a giant file. And they have to stack them up. I'm like, they probably could put these in smaller cryptid little things. I mean, and the data they're getting really is... It really is like an 8-bit drawing. When it pops up in their thing, I'm like, that's what we had to die to get you?
There's probably more to it that we don't see.
I'm guessing there's probably... And I know that they're doing it because they wanted to match, what we saw in the 70s.
The Emperor is really into retro technology. He doesn't like the newfangled...
He's like, I want crystals. Hard copies of everything on top of...
I want the blueprints stored. I want everything on
also,
a hard copy.
I did not realize... On one planet in a tower.
Maybe your book... maybe your fancy book talked about this. I did not realize that the... makes sense, but I never pictured the Death Star, warping into light speed and showing up wherever it wants. In that case, it's episode 4, when it shows up at Yavin, why did it show up on the other side of the planet and take them 30 minutes to like go around so they could shoot? Because I didn't get that.
It can travel two planets very quickly. It just takes a long time for it to turn.
It has to get into orbit.
It's just really slow turning.
And it was another thing was the charging part of it. Because in this movie, I'm like, they use the Death Star. I mean, they use it.
But they don't use the full power, though.
Right.
The full power blows up the whole planet. This one, they're only using
Need to blow up a whole planet? You can decimate the thing.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you want the planet there to maybe get some stuff off of it?
Not Alderaan, apparently.
Alderaan's just rubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, if you were Luke, wouldn't you be pissed that... Oh, so one of us had to be a princess, and the other one went to the moisture farms of Tatooine.
What? How did I go to the moisture farms?
Couldn't you
have,
like, put me somewhere else other than maybe Dagobah would have been even nicer than being in the moisture farms of Tatooine?
The only thing I had keeping me together was this blue milk that I hallucinate off of every day.
And all the power converters and I would pick up.
All the power converters.
I think about that all the time especially when I just watched it in Bail Organa's like, oh, well, we've always wanted a daughter. I'm like, really? Can't adopt a little boy, too?
They couldn't keep them together for some reason.
I don't understand that either. He didn't even know they were alive, either one.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to keep them separate.
It's like, hey, we're going to take her, make her, give her a position of power. We're going to change her name. He won't ever find her. Yeah, we'll just put him back where his dad was and keep the same last name.
Yeah, same last name.
That one out.
Never. Go search there.
We know how much he hates San from that speech he gave.
Have you met
Skywalker? There's no way he's related to Anakin.
Oh, yeah. Any kids here with the last name Vader? We're looking for a Mr. Vader, a Mrs. Vader, something. Like, yeah, no Vaders.
Any baby Vaders? We just have Skywalkers.
Yeah, probably a weird coincidence.
Speaking of Vader, that one action scene we didn't discuss
is Vader slaughtering rebels.
We get to see Vader be pretty BA for
the first time in 10 movies. Seconds.
Yeah.
He has a terrible one-liner earlier.
He does have a horrible one-liner.
Don't get choked up.
Oh, sorry. That was a little more Arnold.
It was appropriate, though.
Choked up in your ass.
I love that he had a bad one-liner. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was. No, worse than the bad one-liner is his castle on Mustafar.
Oh, yes. His big,
what
like,
is he doing there?
His big, like, Lord of the Rings tower.
Yes, and the whole time I'm like, well, what are you doing here? You're not having people over to party. Why do you need a giant castle? And like, it's what is in the inside of it? Like nothing? Like a chamber and that's it?
A Bacta tank.
There's a lot of stuff in there. I mean, actually in the comics he goes back there. So there's a canonical
like
comic.
His Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, he goes back there and he sends scouts out. Like he has in the comic series from Marvel right now, there's a whole subplot where...
I mean, is he hanging in there?
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, he hangs out there. He drinks a beer or two.
I mean, that's really what I want to know. If you have a house that giant on a lava planet, you need to do something to get people to come visit you because no one wants to come to Mustafar.
He has that old guy in the robe there to just get him stuff.
There was the old guy in the robe.
It's just him and the old guy in a robe.
And the Crimson Guards.
Well, oh, yeah.
I just wished he hung some...
Crimson Guards!
I wish he hung some art on the wall, is what I'm saying. The whole time I was like,
maybe we didn't go to his study.
Well, we saw three rooms. Maybe, no art.
Maybe he's got like a nice little study that he goes to.
What
he's
is he studying?
Maybe he's studying, you know, maybe he's reading the classics.
What are the classics in the Star Wars world?
I don't know.
It's before all of our classics, you know.
He's working on his fighting moves so he can have one scene.
I did like that about the blind
the history of the Hutts
force follower is that you get for the first time this idea of practicing what your craft, because you don't see the Jedi's, they practice using the force a lot, but you don't see them lightsaber practicing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, after watching Rogue One, you know, it basically leads into the opening scene of
I love
A New Hope.
They kept the 70s mustaches on people and stuff too.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
awesome.
And since, you know, watching A New Hope after watching Rogue One, the whole opening scroll, you're like, this is the movie I just watched.
Right.
Is the scroll right here.
Yeah.
And it just made the.
Yeah. And as you're watching it, I mean, did you go watch 4 right away?
I'd probably like the next
4
day,
and 5 right away, they mention it. Like at least 2 or 3 times. It's kind of cool to just, oh yeah, we just watched that story.
Yeah, they just won their first battle. Like that's where the scroll starts with. And you're like, oh yeah, they did. And
yeah.
We just saw it. It's awesome.
Especially since they were about to surrender and give up everything.
Oh yeah, they were.
They were ready to just give up. They're like, it's over. Just give up.
Yeah, the with the, it's not Rey. What's her name? Jen and the guy with the stick, the blind guy.
We rebel.
Which was not in the line. It's not in the movie.
Oh, there were a lot
that was
from the trailers.
Best line from the trailer.
A lot
we
from
rebel.
The trailers that weren't in
this
the movie.
This is a rebellion.
We rebel.
I thought was one of the best lines.
I think a lot of it is, since they went back and did a lot of reshoots, I think some of what was in the trailer was either cut from the reshoots, mm-hmm. or the thing to do now is shooting extra scenes that you cut just for trailer, so nothing gets
Which
given away.
Which is cool. I mean, it was a good scene.
But I want my We Rebel line.
Yeah.
I want to see...
No, but her with her stick...
I want to see that guy walking through the water with his cape dragging behind him.
You know, she had that...
We didn't get that. Or him standing in front of his like space window just holding his gun.
Yeah.
I need to go watch the trailer again. But no, she had her like stick thing that she was attacking with, and the blind man had his stick, and they're hitting stormtroopers in the face with it, and they're like going down. And I'm like, does that hurt you? What's the point of their armor? It doesn't seem to block bolts of, you know, from a gun, which, you know, makes sense. Okay, it didn't block bullets. but it also doesn't block a stick to the face. I feel like they would be like, oh, okay, that's jarring. Yeah. Because you hit me hard in the helmet.
You figure they'd have a little bit of
but
training.
I'm not going down and not getting back up because you hit me with a stick.
It makes sense with the guy with the big gun and he's shooting them all. Yeah, they're dead then, but...
The best is when the robot picks one of them up and uses it as a weapon.
Although I will say, after the hype of the Death Troopers and how cool they look, they were kind of a letdown. They just look cool.
Which ones were the Death Troopers?
The all black
ones.
Yeah. The all black Stormtroopers.
I remember them popping in and being like, okay, I guess these guys are supposed to be good. Although you do see for the first time a Star Wars world in which you would want to live for the rest of your life in. The one, at the end, Scarif or whatever.
Oh, with the
nice you're like
beach and
hey guys, I got skin stationed and when we're out surfing at the tropical climate here.
I gotta watch the data center.
Where are you at it, huh?
Have fun on Jeddah. Yeah, you get shot up all the time.
You gotta walk through crowded streets. I'm just on the beach.
I'm on a plane surrounded by a force field. There's no one getting in here. We're safe.
No, it's like data. No one even with stacks of data.
Who cares about that?
So we could say definitely go see Rogue One.
If you haven't seen it already.
If you haven't seen it already, go see it.
There's something wrong with you. Yeah.
Go see it. If you don't like Star Wars, you might like this one.
Yeah.
One person I know who did not like Star Wars and liked it.
And if you do like Star Wars, you'll probably like this one.
I would definitely say so.
And after you see Rogue One and you're sitting at home wanting something to watch, well, guess what? We have recommendations for you.
What are yours?
Well, I'm just going to stick with the Star Wars theme here, and I'm going to recommend Clone Wars on Netflix, which is a great series. And it's there is a character from the Clone Wars that is in Rogue One. So you can see him as a younger gentleman during the Clone Wars.
They are awesome.
If you have access to watch Disney XD, I would say watch the Rebels series, which is phenomenal.
Yes, it's good.
Which they are starting to really tie in a lot of things to the original trilogy. And now with Rogue One, there's going to be a lot of tie-ins to that coming soon. So I'm excited. What about you, Justin?
So I just finished a new Netflix series that just popped up. It has 8 episodes called OA.
How is that? I heard that was good.
It is very good. I would love for someone I know, because I know no one who's watched it, to watch it so that I could talk to them about it, because it ends with those like, what was this sort of ending?
I haven't even heard of it. So
it really just popped up about a week ago. There was a whole bunch like Spectify or some other Spectre show, like sci-fi show popped up and like 3% popped up and then OA. And so I don't know what made me pick that one over the other ones. So I just picked it, and it was one of those nights where it was like I was up to like 3 a.m. I watched like 4 episodes, and I was like, I gotta go to bed, and I just kind of killed it. It was really good. I don't know what to think of it. So you should watch OA and then call in and tell me what your thoughts on it, because I don't understand what to make with it. I also recently acquired a couple passwords and watched the first 5 minutes of Westworld, episode 1, in which I was like, so I was excited because my wife gets mad sometimes when I start series without her, because she's like, oh, we need to do this together. I was like, okay, well, let's start Westworld. Apparently, it's like the new Game of Thrones. And she got about 5 minutes in, she's like, I can't watch this. So I stopped watching it, but I would like to go back and watch it. The first 5 minutes were really good.
Well, a lot to go through on that. I don't know if it's on any streaming services, but there's an older movie called Battle Beyond the Stars, which was like a Star Wars ripoff.
I know the movie.
That's a fun one to go
watch.
Do
they have swords?
Yes.
Like laser swords?
Yeah, I can't remember if they're laser swords. It's really cheesy.
Beyond the Stars?
Yeah, it's really cheesy, but
is it a Roger Corman movie?
Yeah, it's a Roger Corman. But it's a really fun one to go watch.
I'm looking up right now.
Also, Hunt for the Wilder People is on Hulu.
On Hulu?
Yeah.
I will watch that tonight.
Started watching it.
I've heard it's great.
Fell asleep. But that's by Takei Wada.
When did that pop up? Like just now?
The other day. Wow. who directed What We Do in Shadows and the upcoming Thor Ragnarok. So
I've heard The Hunt for the Wilder People is amazing.
It's from what I watched so far, it was really good. I'm trying to think if there's another movie I watched. I've been watching stuff on HBO recently.
I watched Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead last night and High Fidelity, both on the HBO Go app, thanks to these fine folks. And if you haven't seen Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, you should watch it because it's still really good. It holds up.
Okay. It's been many years.
The dishes many are years. Done, man.
Oh, that was a great trailer line.
Well, thanks for listening to the Cinema Guys. Remember to let us know what you think. We love hearing from you. Thanks again. And who knows? Maybe sometime we'll see you at the movies. Bye, everybody.
Call us.